Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Oh my god.
This music always makes me hype. I love it.
Look at you go, like new 2021, new intro. My god, you're killing it already.
Oh man, we're just trying to be professional, man. We gotta keep up with the game, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we go through this podcast and see if we're still professional. Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you had we won't say hope you had a great 2020. We'll just say you hope you had a 2020, and pretty much leave it at
that. Well, yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of people had a 2020. It was just pretty ordinary, I guess.
We thought before we get into NFL Week 16, we'll talk about just a little bit about probably the best and worst sporting moments of 2020. Obviously, because we're wholly and solely based around sport. Yeah, I've already stuffed up. So. We start with, we might as well get the worst out of the way because, you know, how 2020 was. Did you have any worst moments that stood out for you?
Look, you know, besides the obvious, you know, with all a lot of people out there having to quarantine and stuff like that. Look, the one thing that sort of, you know, I didn't really appreciate or, you know, just sort of didn't like that much over the course of this last year of 2020 was the word bubble. I do not want to hear the word bubble ever, ever again.
You are going to hear it again because I guarantee when the NBA goes in the final, I haven't said yet, but I guarantee that to bang through all those games, they have to go into Orlando again. I won't say it now, but I'm just telling you, they're going to have to. They can't skip. You said it yourself when we talked about last time. They can't keep skipping around continents to do these games in one or two days. You know, it's just not going to happen. They're going to go into Orlando, Disneyland, so to speak. That's what I'll say about it. They have to.
Yeah, that word. I don't know, really crawls up my skin now at the moment. And, yeah, would have heard it 10,467 times over the NBA restart.
that's kind of obvious, really, because, I mean, you've detested that word from ever since they said they were going in there.
From the get-go.
Were there any other sort of, I guess, I mean, it doesn't even have to be what we're into, but any other sports-related ones? That you sort of felt was
well,
like.
Well, I guess, you know, this is probably going to be extremely unpopular, but the Lakers winning the title, sort of, you know how my feelings are on the LA Lakers, but that was just, I don't know, that was too set up for me.
Well, that's one of my best moments of 2020. So see?
There we go, disagreement straight away in 2021.
Well, okay, I'm sorry that I'm a Lakers fan and have been since Magic. I'm no bandwagon fan.
So you should be sorry.
And I'm sorry that that LeBron did. LeBron is anyway. They did what they had to do, and they did it. They just. And I'll probably talk about it when we start talking about NBA in the week one, but goddamn, those two guys, they play so aggressive. It's very hard to defend against them. Well, that was the biggest thing I took out of that in that final series.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so hard to defend against.
And that's the Heat. Yeah, they did admirable with the injuries and that they had before the final started and then Bam going down and
of course.
To do what they did was an absolutely admirable Herculean effort, but it was a mountain too high, really. It wasn't going to happen. It was always going to be the so-called fairy tale ending, for a Lakers season and the purple and gold.
For obvious reasons, which we don't need to go into, but
that's the thing. Like, that's the only thing that sort of, I guess, whether you want to say puts a little shine on it or takes a little shine off.
That's exactly right. In terms of the sport we sort of list, religiously following that, except for the obvious, the glaringly obvious that we've already talked about. For me, I couldn't get past, and this is going way, way back in January, and it was a couple of things. It was before sort of COVID, I guess. But do you watch any tennis at all?
No, bits and pieces of it. So you know, when we're venturing in your hometown down there, and we're playing the basketball game, and we generally all sit around and watch some tennis and cricket while we're all together. So that's about the extent of the tennis that I'll watch.
Well, I think it was at the US Open, but when Novak Djokovic just getting disqualified in the US Open for, albeit he hit the ball back and aggressively hit a lady, and he got disqualified from the whole tournament, which I couldn't work that out at all.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I think it was sort of deemed a forceful act. And it's just like, not really. Like, you know, tennis players do that sort of stuff all the time where they'll just smack the ball away in anger, and her throat just happened to get in the way of the ball.
And that's what I mean. Like, if he smacked her back and say she wasn't there, wouldn't have got banned.
It's nothing, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately she was there, and you know,
there's just no chance in hell that he was aiming for her. Like,
no,
please.
That's right. That's exactly right. Look, and there was, with the amount of sport we had, I wouldn't say there was a lot of bad, you know, worse moments of 2020, because, you know, just getting sport through COVID was the best moment for me for 2020, if you know what I mean, in terms of sport.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I think there's sort of a lot of the narrative out there that everything was going a little bit sort of loopy in the world, and to have, you know, that sort of release of sport to come back into everybody's lives after, you know, it being absent for so long, and particularly with the NFL, sort of, there's been a lot of hiccups and everything with the NFL, but they've essentially got through the season. We're about to do week 16 now. There's only one more week to go, and they've got through every game. No games have been cancelled. They've only been postponed, so that they've actually done fairly well in that regard. Plenty of news that was out there that, you know, facilities had closed and things like that, but no games actually were cancelled. Like, all games up until now have been played for the NFL.
What are some of the best moments that stood out for you in 2020?
Two words. Last Dance.
Wow, yeah. Actually, I did not have that, honestly, on my radar, but it was a phenomenon. And it should, as I follow, I guess, the sort of movie and Oscar side a bit, there's I'd be very hard pressed for that not to win best documentary. It will.
That
it's
will
just
yeah, that will that absolutely.
It'll be huge push for that. Yeah, it was everything like that ESPN and Netflix as well talked about and more. It completely delivered.
And
really?
They pushed it up. It was meant to come out now. It was meant to come out in 2021.
Yeah.
So they rushed through the production and got through all the editing and stuff like that to get it out there for everybody to consume while, I guess, like we said, you know, the world was going a little bit screwy and you know, for 5 weeks on, well, I guess, you know, in America it was Sunday night for us, sort of, you know, we sort of got it pretty much that Monday around that lunchtime or so. So a lot of people sort of got it here Monday or Tuesday. And, you know, I guess it just sort of brought everybody back together and everybody back to the TV to get this, you know, inside look at the final chapter of the second three-peat of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. And it just solidified for me, at least, like, just how good and how rare Michael Jordan is. I mean, it's painfully obvious, obviously, but
a stone cold killer.
Mm.
Just nothing that to me he's just a stone cold killer.
And just how, like, one little thing, and that, I mean, I didn't realize to the extent of how it was, because it was never really talked about, but just one little thing, like, I think George Carl just dissed him in a restaurant, and he went, okay, that's all I need. Just, yeah, you know, he just, yeah, he used any fuel, yeah, to win a game. It was epic.
That's fine. Yeah. You want to diss this? All right, cool. No worries. Oh, yeah, you look at earlier stuff with him, you know, he's at the free throw line, and it was at Dikembe Mutombo, and he's like, yeah, this one's for you, and he closes his eyes and shoots the free throw, and it goes in nothing but net. Like, you know, come on.
For me, I mean, I could have said, I've said it before, the Lakers winning the title, the Melbourne Storm winning the NRL title.
Oh, for God's sake.
As well. But for me, it was, to be honest, it was the women's T20 tournament, you know, getting that huge crowd. Yes, Australia won on their home soil, the MCG, but getting that, I think it was the biggest crowd, nearly the biggest crowd.
The biggest crowd of 2020. But they have 86,174.
Now, I think it was the biggest sporting crowd, at least in Australia, of the year.
I think not just Australia. I've got a funny feeling it's worldwide.
I thought it was the
biggest crowd worldwide for a sporting event this year.
But you know, I'm going to use the word women, but it's huge for women. Because, you know, not only that, but then to get a huge crowd, but then they had a million people watch it on TV.
Like, to get the eyeballs on there, that's good for the women's game of cricket, yeah, in general, not just T20 cricket.
Yeah, I think it was brilliant. I just seeing it went massive. Seeing that at MCG for women's T20 was just massive in itself. But, you know, to pull that sort of crowd.
I think the opponent in India helped as well.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And they demolished them too, didn't they?
No, that's right. If it had been, you know, Australia and West Indies or Australia and Pakistan or somebody like that, would the crowd have been as much? Like, I get it. It's like a grand final. You know, people would have already gone out there and got their tickets, but would there have been, you know, would there have been, you know, 10,000 or 15,000 less because, oh well, India didn't make it. So, you know, what would have happened if Australia didn't make it? You know, that would have dinted the crowd a lot. That's as well. Right.
And honestly, I reckon, it was just before that, I guess, that the whole lockdown and COVID. So really, you know, again, just to put that in perspective, is around that time people didn't have to go. You know, just to put out, I guess, how far women's cricket, well, any women's sport, but women's cricket has come. So
no, that's right. Yeah, you know, to be put in the spotlight like that, you know, worldwide, is only good. Only good. It's good for the women's game. It's good for cricket in general.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll swing back to NFL. So NFL Week 16. We're sort of playing catch up, obviously, over the Christmas break. I'll rip through the scores real quick. Your boys, is this going to just before I get into it, is this going to be the easiest stud and dud of the week ever?
Stud, yeah.
Yes.
I've got something that's a little bit out of left field.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're probably gonna have different duds, but I think we're gonna be right on the studs. But
don't worry. There's a team in green that definitely should get a mention for dud.
So the Saints end up. Look, it was a high scoring affair, but they end up coming back. Well, yeah. No, I'd say coming back, and really just demolishing, especially in the fourth quarter, the Vikings 52-33.
Christmas Day smash fest.
For one person it was.
Oh, it was fantastic. For
the Buckeyes getting, you know, Brady getting his team to, I guess, end the 13-year playoff drought, just smashing the Lions 47-7. The 49ers beating the Cards. The Cards slipping 20-12.
Man.
The Dolphins.
Their playoff lives are there for the taking, and they just can't get over the hump. Like it's really, you know, there's a couple of teams, you know, especially, you know, even in the AFC that you just like, oh, it's there for the taking. It's a beat up San Francisco team.
And they lost.
And you get, you're getting knocked off like that. Like, you know, I think it was the inspiration of George Kittle, I think.
Yeah, I think so. The Dolphins come back and stun right at the end the Raiders 26-25.
That was the most insane finish. Like, I guess we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Influenced by
this magic.
No. If you listen to the post game press conference by John Gruden.
No.
That wasn't influenced by Fitzmagic. That was influenced by Patrick Mahomes. And we'll get into it when we talk about it.
I didn't know. Okay, interesting. Well, they end up winning their game just by the Falcons. I guess, you know, the Falcons, they lost. Well, I guess we'll talk about it later. But, yeah, we'll go through the scores. The Chiefs beat the Falcons 17-14. The Jets beat the Browns 23-16. Basically, effectively losing the number one draft pick.
Yeah, it's gone.
The Steelers beat the Colts 28-24. The Bears.
That was a crazy game, too. That was such a good comeback by Pittsburgh.
The Bears look demolishing the number one seeded or number one draft pick Jaguars 41-17. The Ravens beating the Giants 27-13. The Bengals beat the Texans 37-31.
Yeah, they got their tails in the air the last couple of weeks, the Bengals.
Bengals, yeah. Which is interesting because I have no Joe Burrow. But the Chargers beat the Broncos 19-16. The Panthers beat the Washington to keep my team in somehow in the NFC East title race.
Hey, they're still there.
The 20-13, because then they end up beating the Eagles pretty comprehensively, 37-17. The Seahawks
eliminating the Eagles from playoff contention. So exactly. I finally put them out of their misery.
The Seahawks beating the Rams 20-9. The Packers, I guess, effectively sewing up the NFC number one seed 40-14 over the Titans.
Yeah, there's a couple of scenarios where it could be a three way tie, but I think Green Bay's got it.
And the Bills are just trouncing the Patriots 38-9.
Oh, stinky, stinky, stinky game.
Well, we'll start. We'll go right up the top. We'll start back at the top. You know, your boys are the Saints beating the Vikings. I mean,
I'm just glad they met him throughout the regular season, because two of the last three postseasons, the Vikings have dumped the Saints out of the playoffs. So I'm kind of glad that they've played them throughout the regular season. Just an offensive explosion. Drew Brees still looking very rusty. He's still in a lot of discomfort, I think, from those 47 broken ribs, I think it was.
And that's what I was going to point out, is that we can talk about the rushing game, but it's pretty self-explanatory. But exactly what you just said then, the receiving core, that's what I thought. Brees is still too banged up, and they're not really, you know, if Kamara goes down, I don't want him to because he's a brilliant player, but if he goes down, their receiving core is good. I just don't know if Brees has got it anymore. Really? Well, you said it, but it's...
Have you not heard the news today?
No.
Well, at this point in time, AK-41 has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, Kamara. That's right.
So he is out this week against the Panthers, and they're really not sure what is his possible status is for the playoffs.
That's probably a smoke screen.
I think that's 100% a smoke screen, but it just, that makes me a little nervous.
I guess that's what I mean. I'm just sort of nervous for you in terms of the fact of, you know, well, Michael Thomas is just a throwaway year for him, unfortunately. I know he didn't play in this game, but, you know, you still got Emmanuel Sanders leading the receiving corps there. You know, he did get 4 out of 5 targets for 83 yards, but it's just, I don't know, like...
It's a lot of rookies and undrafted guys and guys that they picked up, off the practice squad and things like that. It's just, Marquez Callaway, I think he's an undrafted guy. Adam Trautman, the tight end, he's a rookie. It's mean. Yeah, Juwan Johnson. Like, you know, who the hell's Juwan Johnson? Like, he's a practice squad guy. So, you know, for them to do what they've done, obviously in this game they relied extremely heavily on the run game.
Yeah.
And Dalvin Cook was sort of a little bit underwhelming, I guess, for Minnesota. And you know, they've got the weapons there. Like, you know, you plug in a different quarterback there, maybe in Minnesota, and do they have a bit more of a better success through the air with Jefferson and Thielen there? So
I don't know, we've said it
how many times have we said it? Is Kirk Cousins good? Like, he's good, yes he's bad. Like, he's so inconsistent, and he's been, but it still gets him paid, like, because his upside is very good. It's the differential between the good and the bad. It's just, it's too wide.
And just exactly what you just said there. He got paid in 2018. So he's got $84 million over 3 years. So.
Totally guaranteed. That whole contract was totally guaranteed, extremely rare for an NFL contract.
They would have to go, if they cut him or I guess effectively lose him, they'll go into the next year with a $28 million dead cap space. We say they're not going to do that, clearly.
No.
But I guess
he's got, look at offensively, like, look at the guys that he's got there.
Of course.
Like, they really should be better than a 6-9 team.
If he didn't have a bad season, Justin Jefferson should be the rookie of the year. If not he, sorry, Vikings didn't have a bad season. Because of how good he's played.
We know who the offensive rookie of the year is going to be, but Justin Jefferson has put his name in the conversation.
Oh no, sorry, he's on 2018, so that includes the 2018. So he's actually, Kirk Cousins is actually up for renewal now. Like, he'll go into next season as a free agent. So that's interesting, actually. So that's very interesting. But I mean, they're 6-9, so it depends. I guess they'll be that sort of middle of the pack ish, unless they look to push up the draft. Like, that's. I mean, I'd love to talk about that. I don't know about this one, but another one later. Just now, effectively, if we talk about the Jets game, what the hell the Jets are going to do, because they're going to miss out on who they want. And do they trade down to someone like the Vikings, because the Vikings then could go after like a Justin Fields or something? I don't know.
I'm not sure what they would actually do there. You know, draft wise, just sort of having a little bit of a look through the standings there. I don't know what you do or where you go with Minnesota. You've got all that. You've got that big salary hit with Kirk Cousins. So I think
you're right. I think they need another quarterback. I think they should trade up and get a Justin Fields. Or I'm sure there's a couple other quarterbacks. They're not going to get the obvious choice, but maybe that might be the way.
Now that the Jets have basically sewn up the number two spot, there's the possibility that they'll be open to all offers for that to try and get themselves, which is still an advantageous position that they're in, for teams that are going to want that number two pick. You know, how much of the farm, so to speak, are they going to mortgage? To get that number two pick, and that's only good for the Jets. Then, yeah, that sort of secures that long term build where they can get multiple first rounders, a la what the Miami Dolphins have done.
Of what I read, they're pretty. I mean, this is all hearsay, but what I read with them is that, they're effectively going to have the number two pick now. They're pretty happy with Sam Darnold, obviously, in the last couple of weeks.
I really would think so. Like, you know,
I don't mind Sam Darnold.
We said before too. Like, it's Gase is out the door. Like, he's done. Like, he simply cannot survive this season.
So what they're sort of looking at is if they can get an offensive lineman, they don't necessarily pick an offensive lineman down in 12 or 15. They don't have to pick an offensive lineman at number two. So they could trade down and, like you just said, get the farm like Miami. So
yeah, that's right. You know, you could even get draft picks in this upcoming draft.
Yeah,
and
correct.
Maybe try and secure yourself a really good number one receiver. Bolster that offensive line. That's what they need. They need to bolster that offensive line, and they need – Darnold just needs something to throw to.
Oh, imagine getting a – I've never
Instead
said
of Rashad Perryman.
I don't remember. I mean, we're sort of dragging with the Jets, which we never do, but that's okay. When was the last time – I'm just thinking of that brilliant wide receiver at Alabama, Devontae Smith. He's absolutely insane. Like, if Jets don't pick him up, the Eagles, I think, will pick him up because they need a wide receiver. I can't think of a lot. I mean, we'd have to look it up, but I couldn't think of the last time a wide receiver would get picked at number two.
Yeah, receivers generally don't go that high as in the number two pick. The precedence was set that you don't take a running back at number two.
Yeah, until
the New York. Well, that's to the New York Giants took Saquon Barkley in 2018. So, there was always that narrative that you don't take a running back at number two. But the Giants changed all of that.
It's good point.
Yeah, but he was. Yeah, that's. I mean, you watch Saquon Barkley at I think he played for Penn State. Like he was just phenomenal. Like they couldn't pass him up.
But so is this guy, apparently, of everything I read. He's a Heisman Trophy finalist, which is, again, pretty rare for a wide receiver.
Right, yeah, that's generally a quarterback award.
And it probably will still go to a quarterback, but... We'll move on. We don't really need to talk about so much the Bucs, just that I guess that Brady has effectively ended the 13-year playoff drought for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He looked good. Coming into the finals, he looked good in that game. He really did look good.
Yeah. For me, yeah, okay, yeah, he looked good. But please, it's the Detroit Lions. Like, honestly. there's high school teams out there that had looked pretty good against the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions have been, especially lately, have just been so non-competitive in their games, and
they need a wide receiver too. Guys, just thinking about it, you know, they've got, Danny Amendola get the top receiving there at 37. That's ridiculous. So
exactly.
You're right. Look, I mean,
they're relying on guys like Mohamed Sanu. Like, come on.
Mm. Oh, they'll keep Marvin Jones, I think, but yeah,
But he's a bona fide number two. Like, he's not your big number one sort of player. So yeah, Brady was just, it was ridiculous in this game. Stafford got hurt early, but obviously didn't help the Lions. If you're Detroit, you sit Stafford for the rest of the year, let him get healthy. Trade him off to New Orleans, and it's all happy days. You know, that's would be the Detroit Lions plan.
Okay, are you, before we move quickly on to other ones, are you 100% certain that Drew Brees is going to retire after this year?
I'm convinced. Win, lose or draw, he is done at the end of the year.
Wow, he's been there forever. I just didn't think I'd hear it. Not that I'm saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I didn't think I would. I don't know.
I thought he had committed for two. I'm pretty sure he's committed for 2 years.
Yeah.
But I just I would think. Yeah. I don't know. Like it's been the last. Yeah. His last two seasons have been. Decline to say the least. And. He's had two significant injuries where he's missed multiple games in a row. You know, last year with the finger, and this year with the how many did I say before 47 broken ribs. So the 47 broken ribs that he had, you know, in this year, and the Saints in those games that he's missed have only had one loss.
So, okay, yeah.
Radar to the Philadelphia Eagles.
So, I guess, yeah, see, but my thing is that if it's a case, then the only good thing I could see coming out of it is that, like, right now, Michael Thomas seems to be getting wasted. Like, I mean, going off a stellar season he had last year, he just seems to be getting wasted, really. He has been injured.
It's the injuries It's the injuries this year. And it's the same as Julio Jones.
The thing is, you're right.
They couldn't shake the injuries that they had.
I don't see your team as a team that that would go in. Well, I'll put it underprepared. I don't see them. You know, they would have to have a backup plan that we don't know about. I just don't see a New Orleans Saints franchise go into a season and say Drew Brees decides to retire and they're going to have no backup plan, because at the moment their backup plan is Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. So I don't. I just. That's all I'm getting at. I mean, I know you're saying Stafford and all. I just don't see. Your team seems too, and I think Drew Brees would help that. I think your team seems too, they're too well organized not to be. They're not like a New York team that has no idea what they're doing.
They just can't get out of their own way at the moment. Like both New York teams, they just can't get out of each other's way. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of teams, I can't work out now what happened to Arizona Cardinals. I put it down to their coach, Cliff Kingsbury. I think he'll probably be turf soon, because there's no way Kyler Murray should firstly be throwing 50 times and then secondly be the lead. They're wasting the rushing game. He's fast and all that, but Kenyon Drake is getting wasted there. Big time.
No, and that's the problem with it too. Yeah, through 50 times. 31 completions. Only had 247 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're throwing that many times, and even with 31 completions, you should be well over the 250-yard mark. No throwing touchdowns by Murray. He's banged up. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, he probably is banged up.
He's banged up, and he hasn't looked good in the last couple of weeks.
I just think I don't like the way Cliff brings, who's to say if it's a head coach, offensive coordinator, you don't know with these kind of things, but I just don't like the players that are getting drawn up, to be completely honest.
It's too one dimensional.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people have worked out that, yes, as brilliant as DeAndre Hopkins is, that, it is. It's too one dimensional. So. I put it down exactly what you said. I think it was George Kittle inspired. For them to come back, they've on their third string quarterback and they get the win with Kittle.
Yeah, like that's right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they benched Mullins last week. Now he's hurt.
Yeah.
So they got no choice but to start CJ Beathard. And I think over the last week or so, or even before, in the last 10 days or so, they've signed Josh Rosen. So Josh Rosen now is the backup to CJ Beathard. So CJ Beathard goes down, Josh Rosen will be getting a start for the San Francisco, will be getting playing time for the San Francisco 49ers.
So in other words, Nick Mullins is gone.
No, well, yeah, he's done for the season. But yeah, he was benched. He was benched last week. So they've gone again now with CJ Beathard. And look, For what they did, they've gone just back to what their bread and butter had been last year, is the run game. Like Jeff Wilson come back with a vengeance in this game.
Yeah.
It's defensively is the surprise of this game is how they held, Kyler Murray and this. Like we said, possibly a little one-dimensional offense.
See, to me, you're right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I really think it's right. I think Cliff, the way they were set up and the way, Kyler at the start was, had that MVP conversation. So I think he's
not playing so well at the start of the year. It's a classic case of peaking too early.
Eight and seven. I think he
8-7 at the moment.
I think that expectations. I think he'll be gone at the end of the year. On the flip side, with the 49ers, so they're 6-9, which isn't the greatest record. Don't get me wrong, but Kyle Shanahan, he's not going to get it. But goddamn, he should be over mention of Coach of the Year for what
he should.
He might get in the finals. He won't get anything, but God, there's no he had your, you know, up until now he had your quarterback out, your tight end out. He's really your best wide receiver as well. And then a lot of your defensive players. Bosa was out for the year.
Decimated on both sides of the ball. Offensive line, defensive line. You know, you're on a third string quarterback. You haven't had Mostert and Tevin Coleman and guys like that. You know, he's been limited. The guys that were sort of your bread and butter last year. You know, Debo Samuel hasn't played a lot of games this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they rely on guys like, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne and players like that. It's just for what they've done. It's a truly amazing season for the 49ers. They can't make the playoffs or anything, but they can make life very difficult for teams. You know, especially coming into next week. I'm pretty sure they've got Seattle in San Francisco.
I thought it was someone like that.
Yeah, and look, it's just about making life difficult and uncomfortable.
Yeah, they've got Seattle. Yeah, interesting. It's at Arizona of all places, but that's got no choice for that. I'm a big fan of Shanahan. I think he should at least be mentioned in the finals. Moving on, the Dolphins just 10-5. They'll make the playoffs, which is going to be awesome to see. You know, a huge turnaround of what we were talking.
I think they should make the playoffs.
They should make the playoffs.
They've got to go to Buffalo next week to basically guarantee them a win. But yeah, there's a few scenarios where they could possibly get bumped if the Browns win, and then you got to worry about Indianapolis and the Titans as well. So. There are scenarios there that where the Dolphins could get bumped.
Yeah, but the Dolphins were going from a season where we were talking about them as in, you know, I guess the almighty stuff up of really losing that number one pick, but then they end up getting Tua anyway and
end
just
up
buying
Tua anyway, which over the last few weeks has been, I guess, sort of underwhelming to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and you know that's we'll talk about another thing in a second with them, but. Just for them to turn it around to be at a 10-5 team, I think it wasn't so much that they drafted. I think it's how well they spent their money in the free agency. They went in there with like 80 or 90 million,
and very rarely go out there and get the guys that you want and are living up to expectations in that free agent market.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's good. That's not, you know, a lot of teams are coming in with huge cap spaces as well, but. The good thing with it, like even if they miss out, it's still a winning season for them. But I guess the other good thing for them, I think their number, Kenneth Houston, they're sitting pretty at number three draft pick for next year.
That's right. They've got a 62% chance of getting a top five pick next year. Thank you very much, Houston. And thank you very much, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it's not Houston. Oh, poor Deshaun Watson. Just signed a huge contract. Anyway, they're just going to sit back and go, what do we need? But,
That's right.
I mean,
decisions to ponder.
How good was that last play by Fitzmagic? Throwing that mercy ball.
And that's what I mean. And they tacked on the 15 yards as well for the face mask penalty. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. He gets out of bounds, so they stop the clock. Like, it was just such an absolute frenzy finish of a game. Like, it just and that's the thing. Like, you know, after Tua was benched again, Fitzmagic has three drives. They score on all three drives. You know, they kick two field goals and they score a touchdown.
If he doesn't want to start, I don't know if he's signed on for next year, but he is a great backup for a lot of teams.
No, absolutely.
He still is a great backup for a lot of teams.
He could even re-sign there at Miami.
It's possible because, I think you said.
They like him there as well.
I don't know if they're completely sold on Tua still. I mean, they were talking about that's why they threw him in to see how they go. They might even pick a quarterback at number three. Who knows? Which would be very interesting.
They won't go that far, but it's got to be scheming. Like, it just, that's all I can think of is they're just not whether they trust Tua to throw downfield, or like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be part of the game plan with him is to just, they're just not letting him loose at the moment. You know, a la what, you know, what Justin Herbert has done. Like, you look at Tua's highlights from college, from Alabama. He's got a big arm on him. Like, I think this is just one of those years where it's a learning curve for him.
Yeah.
They're still winning. They're still getting the job done. Again, their receiving core has been, you know, a little bit sort of up and down as well. They've got a pretty good reliable tight end in Gesicki. So, yeah, they've just got to shore up a few things there. You know, maybe offensive line, get him another team that they could possibly go into the free agent market, get themselves a good wide receiver, or you know, you get one in the draft and maybe draft one high with that Texans pick.
Yeah,
which is essentially not a free pick, but do you know what I mean? Like, well, it's a free very high pick.
Free very high pick. Don't need to sort of talk much about the next game. The Chiefs, you know, getting over the Falcons, you know, they just clinched it by the late sort of field goal miss by,
Youngway Koo has been kicking great.
I thought he was the best kicker all year of what I read. He, like, number one kicker this year. He was the number one kicker this year. You know, don't need to talk about much stuff. Obviously, they've sewn up the AFC. I still think they're going to be very, very hard to beat the Chiefs. I just don't see any other team win.
The last few weeks they've looked beatable.
They look beatable, but they could be resting players knowing that they're 14.
Mahomes isn't playing next week.
Well, there you go. So I'm not saying the Super Bowl, but I think I don't see any AFC team beating them. I don't see Pittsburgh beating them. I don't see the Buffalo Bills beating them personally.
Who's
but that's
the
me.
Best, who's got the better chance to beat them though? The way that they're playing at the moment, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, anybody? I think Buffalo.
Right now,
the way that they're playing at the moment, I think they've got the best chance.
That's right.
To beat them.
Right, as of right now, but again, this they could just be resting a lot of players that we don't know that's into the they're coming into the finals. I don't know. I think they're doing what they need to get the number one bye. It's all up in the air. I just don't see them losing. Not the Super Bowl. I don't know yet. They'll make the Super Bowl. I don't know what'll happen from there.
No, well, Kansas City's wrapped up the number one.
That's right.
The number one seed in the AFC. They don't have to really worry too much about that. Their division is everybody's eliminated now with that the Raiders loss.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about Mahomes and what the Raiders, you know, sort of came about and said John Gruden sort of come out and said that the reason why they knelt the couple of times at the end of that game, took the field goal instead, was they wanted to milk the clock as long as humanly possible because they got scorched early on in the year when they gave Mahomes like a minute and 18 seconds and they got beaten. So the play for him was to just milk the clock down. They left 19 seconds left on the clock, and clearly that's too long for Fitzmagic. So, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, my God. The Browns, they're 10-5. Like I said, there's a lot of scenarios going on. But the Jets, you know, getting their second win in a row too, wasn't it? Yeah, so second win in a row. Second win of the season, but second win in a row. The shining star for me, and I think just because he passed so many yards, but Frank Gore,
I think he's pretty evergreen. He went over 16,000 yards.
Yeah, he's only the third player to do it, if I was recollecting correctly. Yeah, that's.
I think it's Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton.
That's it. Yeah. Oh my God, Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt.
Okay, that is my favorite cowboy. I don't care what anybody says. He's my favorite. Oh my God. Oh, and we'll talk about them later. But
the Jets come out. They had trick plays. You know, Jameson Crowder throws himself a nice big fat 43-yard touchdown. It was unbelievable. The thing that just baffles me, befuddles me, I don't care. Okay, they had that receiving core decimated.
For COVID reasons.
About the Browns. They had a couple of offensive linemen that didn't play this game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the freaking Jets. It is the Jets.
The Jets have the...
Then you just go to a ground and pound game. You take the ball away from Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has played really good the last few weeks. Really good.
Yeah.
But with those receiving guys not there, you've just got to say to him, no, we're just going to pound this ball.
And that's
Nick Chubb, 11 rushes, 28 yards. Kareem Hunt, 4 rushes, 11 yards. Like, come on. Like, everybody blowing a whole bunch of, you know what, up Kevin Stefanski's skirt. Oh, what an innovator and everything like that. That has got to be 100,000,000% the plan for this game. Control the tempo of the game. Control the clock. Beat the holy crap out of the Jets with the run game and get into a grind like that. Baker Mayfield, 2 fumbles lost, 3 in total. You're putting it in the wrong person's hands.
You're exactly right. That's exactly because my point is with that game is that's what they should have done. They had a decimated receiving core. The Jets defense isn't as bad.
To say that, like they've got 3 really good tight ends, like Austin Hooper. Like, why did they even go out and get him and pay all that money for him to get used the way that he's been used this year?
Yeah, I can't work. That's the bust of the season.
Is no slouch.
That's not Austin Hooper.
Harrison Bryant, who's the young rookie. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, that is such a gaffe by Stefanski to totally go away from what you would think would be the absolute most obvious game plan in the history of the planet.
That was, to me, that Austin Hooper, and it's not his fault, but that was the bust buy of the year. I still can't work out why they brought him. Especially you had OBJ out, and they still didn't use him. But I was... the Jets defense, I was just going back, they're not, except for they had a blowout loss against the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago, but generally from then on, they don't really lose games by about, I guess, no less than 10. So really, it's exactly what you said then. Their secondary is pretty good. I know they lost Jamal Adams, but their secondary is not too bad. They should have went to the running game, especially when you got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, come on.
And that's what I mean. I get it.
I get it.
The Jets can stack the box to try and alleviate the running game. But
that's where you've got to be
an innovator as an offensive play caller. You utilize those tight ends the way that you did. And once you start to spread the field out again, then you just go back to the run game and beat the crap out of them again. Like, it's unbelievable.
No, I think everyone's hyping on Stefanski because he got the Browns to 10-5, but that's about it. I agree. I think he's been admirable, but I think he needs another second season, just to see if he is. I wouldn't say innovator, but he can't be an innovator when you've got one of the best receiving calls. It's better than Dallas's. So, everyone raves about Dallas's offensive weapons.
And same with Tampa.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Buffets of wide receivers everywhere. Like, it's unbelievable.
And the tight end and everything. Yeah, buffets. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The trough of wide receivers. Come on.
So a couple more games I was looking at. The Bengals beating the Texans. I couldn't work it out. I mean. They haven't looked that bad. Exactly what you said.
David Johnson, since coming back, has been quite effective.
Mr. Brandon Allen
for Houston, it's just the lack of everywhere else.
Mr. Brandon Allen was great.
Brandon Allen.
Yeah, 371 yards, 29-37. They've got a good receiving core as well. They did well. And look, I mean, so did Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's not a slouch. So he got Brandon. He just said, David Johnson and Brandon Cooks was great in that game too. But I don't know. I mean, the Bengals have looked good. I don't know if you can't sort of blame. Well, I don't know what you can blame. I couldn't work it out. Really.
Hey, look, man, they've got as many wins as what the Texans do.
I just
Texans has got their franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
and then these guys have got a rookie quarterback, or being the number one pick.
Yeah.
They've lost him now. Yeah, they've gone to Brandon Allen. They've chopped and changed with their quarterbacks, Cincinnati as well. That just AJ Green has just been totally absent from this team. Like, he could be, what is he, 30?
32, I think.
I still think he could be productive. He's got, like, it's, I mean, that could be a really sneaky pickup for, for a team that could use a veteran number one receiver. Like, he's not going to be a number. He's probably not a number one anymore. But he could be like what the Saints have done with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
To me, they're just not even using him at all.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. See, I'm a big fan of T Higgins as well as
He's a super receiver. T Higgins, he's here. He's really
There's another one that's out that was out injured for that in that game, but I think he's a great. Is it Tyler Boyd? Tyler Boyd, I think. Is that Tyler Boyd?
Oh yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, he's so, great as well.
That was basically who they go to was.
Yeah.
When AJ Green was out, their Tyler Boyd has been good for the last couple of years.
On the other side, like, what are Houston got to do? I mean, they're out. They've got. I mean, I went and just sort of paced it for myself. Their picks for next year. They don't have a pick till round three.
They've got to get lucky.
They don't have a pick in round two. They don't have a pick till round three. So yeah,
they've got to get lucky
in the draft. I didn't have a chance, and I should have looked. I didn't have a chance to look at their free agency cap, but. I don't know what they need. I mean, you obviously got to build around Deshaun Watson, and I don't mind Brandon Cooks at all.
No, he's fine. It's just he's not really super reliable as being your number one guy.
Mm.
Like you need to have more than just him around him. You need to have a couple of Brandon Cook type players around him, and they really just don't have that.
No, they don't. I'm just looking at their cap at the moment. As far as I remember, it's not that big at all.
No, because they're in purgatory at the moment, unfortunately, and that has definitely got 99.999% probability that next year could be the same as this year. Like JJ Watt come out and threw just about everybody under the bus in his press in his post game press conference, saying if you don't want to be here, you don't want to practice, you don't want to give it all, then don't be here.
Their cap space for next year is minus $16 million, so they're in serious purgatory. So it's funny JJ Watt says that when he at the moment up until next year he's the highest paid player on that team, but that's
exactly.
I mean, up until Deshaun's contract kicks in, but yeah, that's they're in serious, and it's not the Texans' fault. It's just not Deshaun's fault because they with what he had, they did so well to what they had last year.
And they're in the coaching, the coaching market as well. So yeah, they've got a lot.
Coaching market, manager,
GM market, they've got a lot of building blocks to go.
Yeah.
To build that team back up to being. Yeah, to not waste 1-2 seasons of Deshaun Watson.
That's exactly right.
And that's what it'll be. It'll be a waste.
Any other game, just moving through them quickly, that I wanted to touch on was the my Cowboys. Yeah, just beating the Eagles, knocking the Eagles out, and just doing what they need to do. Their offensive is fine. I honestly, after this year, I don't know if Zeke's contract was even worth it. I don't know.
It doesn't look like it this year.
Yeah, and it's hard. He's had such an impressive first 3 years. It's hard not to sort of pay him.
It's hard to keep that up.
Again, on the flip side, you know, yes,
hey,
the
look,
Cowboys.
Not everybody can be Alvin Kamara, right? Like, not everyone can be that.
No, well, that's true. I think the reason they the Eagles sort of lost was our defense again has sort of stepped up and sort of as well as we could sort of shut down Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he did scramble for a bit for 69 yards, but they did sack him 3 times, so they rattled him a bit.
He was fairly inefficient too, Hurts. Yeah. Like, he only completed just over 50%. So
yeah,
a couple of interceptions, and that's the teething problems of a rookie. But yeah, he just looks like he's just got, just got that, that it factor about him.
He just does. He's better than Wentz at the moment.
And
which
that's the thing. Like, you know, have a look at the bomb that he threw to DeSean Jackson. You know, DeSean Jackson's back. One reception, 81 yards and a touchdown. Like, holy crap.
I don't.
That's such a DeSean Watson stat.
I can't wait to see, only because he's there in the NFC. Like, what the hell are they gonna do with Carson Wentz? Like, they're gonna have to play him, which is terrible for Janet.
He's come out and he's essentially pouting to the media. Like, this isn't gonna work if I'm gonna be a backup. But it's just like, man, you've put yourself in this situation.
Right, that's exactly.
By playing like ass throughout this season and being hit the most. Sacked the most, trying to play hero ball this year. Looking just in some plays where he gets hit, he's a deer in headlights.
He is, yeah, he really is. Look, and if we somehow in our scenario, then I'm talking about the Cowboys here, us and the Washington professional football team, 6-9, so. We have, I believe, the Giants next week, and then the Washington have the Eagles next week, if I'm correct. So
Washington go to Philadelphia, and we've got Dallas. Do they travel?
We've got the Giants at home, or do we have? I thought we had the Giants at home, but I could be wrong.
No, they travel to New York. Well, they travel to, travel to New Jersey, not to New York.
So, and at the moment, I think going back on, we have to win. Washington, if all they got to do is win, and then they'll have
all they got to do is win. All they got to do is win.
They have a tiebreaker. So,
they win.
So I don't know. What do you think? Like, looking at those last two games, it's the NFC East. Just it'll be fun to watch. Just I'm as stinky as it might be. It'll be fun to watch. But what, like, realistically, I'll be honest.
Dallas has looked better.
They've looked better, but we don't deserve it as much as Washington. I don't like Washington because they're in the conference. They deserve it.
I mean,
you could be saying this is 6-9.
All the BS that surrounded the Washington football team this year. You know, going back to ditching the Redskins name. All the controversy surrounding the owner, the multiple COVID breaches by Dwayne Haskins, and now he's been released by Washington. Why it took them another week to release him, and I have a little conspiracy theory about that, is because basically Alex Smith was absolutely 100% not ready to play last week against Carolina. They needed Dwayne Haskins to start that game, and he ended up getting benched anyway, so it didn't matter. But this week, up and coming, Alex Smith has practiced. They're still saying he's questionable, but Alex Smith will play this week for Washington. They just needed him for that one final try and push. If they had beaten Carolina last week, that I think essentially would have wrapped up and won the division for them. So now they've just got to wait until this week before they have any chance of getting into, you know, of wrapping up the division. So they've been a mess this year.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera has beaten cancer.
Yeah.
So it's just been a total schmozzle for them, and for them to be even in remotely in the conversation of winning the division or being at 6-9 at the moment. So the division winner is most likely going to be a 7-9 team. It's a credit to them, and it's a credit to the Cowboys for what they've done in the, you know, the horrendous season that they've had. They played poorly. They lost Dak Prescott. Like, they fought through adversity as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as a credit to me, you know, getting them at $13 too to win when they had absolute no chance to win.
Hey, they're still in with a chance.
Are still in with a chance. So I can't not see the Washington. I know Philadelphia said they were going in all guns blazing to win that game, but realistically, it would be better for them to lose just to hit that top five pick too. So,
that's right, and it's I mean, like they're
all playing for something
of the division. Like, you know, that they have really taken over the tire fire that is the NFC East. But they've just this is the way that they've been playing, the way that Carson Wentz has been coming out and basically having a little boo hoo in the media about. Yeah, about the situation that he's in at the moment. So say, hey, man, you make your bed, you sleep in it.
Yeah, there's $3.75 now, and I got him at 13, so I'm pretty happy with that. Don't know if it's going to pull off. The Giants are still in with a sniff, it says here, for $4.50. Wow. That'd have to be some serious. That should be way longer odds, because that'd have to be some serious ways for that to fall to happen.
Right.
They were, I mean, there'll be others, but they were the main games that I wanted to touch on. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Look, I thought the Green Bay win on the feature game on Sunday night, you know, our sort of, you know, Monday midday game against Tennessee sort of asserted their dominance over over the NFC, I think. You know, the young running back there, AJ Dillon, really sort of took over after Aaron Jones got hurt. Yeah, Devontae Adams is just a freak of a man, and Aaron Rodgers, without being insane, was still Aaron Rodgers, and that's, I mean, he just it they can ill afford to have injuries, and like we said before, you know, with the Saints losing, you know, Kamara for this week, who knows what'll happen, going into the playoffs. The Packers have lost Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
So that is a huge, huge loss for Green Bay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
To lose him so close to the playoffs, to try and keep Rodgers clean. But that's, I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, the way that he played in this game, that stamped his authority on the conference and basically said, you know, we are the team to beat,
and possibly stands as authority. I honestly think on that MVP title.
Yeah,
I think he's looked better
I think he's overtaken Mahomes. Mahomes has been vulnerable the last 2 weeks.
Especially
this week against the Falcons. Like, I don't know what the hell that was. But even last week against New Orleans, that's a totally decimated receiving core there. The defense didn't play that good for New Orleans, and they just scrape out a 3-point win against. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're getting the wins. They're getting what they have to do. Apparently, they haven't covered the spread in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, see that, and that to me, that's not.
The spread. You know, basically, however you want to take that, you know, that's what people are betting on, what they think the expectation is of this team. And the expectation for the Kansas City Chiefs is to just completely blow everybody out of the water. But, yeah, they haven't covered in the last 6 weeks.
And then to me, that's not quarterback.
It's not a reflection on how well, good or bad they're playing.
I don't think that's quarterback worthy. MVP worthy is what I was trying to get at.
He slipped off a little bit, and Aaron Rodgers is playing well at the right time of the year. So I would be surprised if Mahomes got it. I think Aaron Rodgers has overtaken him.
Any other games?
I guess the Monday night game as well, really. Like, it begs mentioning a little bit. You know, Buffalo just come out and just ran roughshod over the Patriots.
Yeah.
What, you know, this Bill Belichick's throwing phones on the sidelines for, you know, for poor reviews. It just, it's the first time that, if I sort of read this correctly, it's the first time since 2000 that the Patriots have been swept by a divisional opponent in the regular season.
Since 99, I read the same thing. So, yeah, 1 year off, but that's, yeah, that's amazing. That's just credit. That's just credit to how well the Bills have played this year. The Bills, and I know on the back of Josh Allen, being more just accurate, a lot more accurate to what he was traditionally not so accurate last year. So, and Stephon Diggs. I mean, let's not discount that how good that free agency pickup was. I mean, that is we've both said it. That to me, that is the free agency pickup of the year.
That's the pairing that everybody was hoping that Cliff Kingsbury was going to do with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Which it should be, but that's Cliff Kingsbury.
It's now turned into Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and I know they have this dumb award, this Comeback of the Year award, but that's, and Stephon Diggs won't really get it because he's pretty consistent last year at the Vikings. But that's, I'd love them just to have it.
There's only one person who's getting the Comeback of the Year award.
Who's that? Because I can't think
that's
of
Alex Smith.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
There is only one man that's getting the Comeback man.
Yeah, that's you're right. There's no one that should not get the. Yeah, good point. Yeah. No,
that's a lock. That's a wrap. That's a shoe in. Whatever other, you know, cliches you want to use for it, like that is just, yeah, that's just 100% happening.
Did you want to move on to studs and duds of the week?
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it.
I mean, look, the stud of the week is glaringly obvious. I mean, he won. If you had Alvin Kamara in any fantasy final game this year, in any championship final game, you won your championship final game. And I didn't have him, but that's not...
You would hope that you would have won, because he definitely gave you not one leg up, but I reckon he gave you three and four legs up in to start off your week of fantasy.
I'm in six leagues and I have him in three leagues. I had him going into the championship in three leagues and I won all three of those leagues. Purely on his 52 points, because it's six touchdowns. I mean, goddamn.
career high rushing yards too, which is only 155, which I found a little to be a little low, but that was a career high in rushing yards as well. But yeah, you know, a 91 year record has been tied. Mm. You know, he couldn't quite get the seventh one, and I'm standing there yelling at the TV when Sean Payton brings in Taysom Hill for him to run in a touchdown, and Alvin Kamara's on the sideline. It's like, no, what are you doing? That's going to be number seven. But, yeah, they ended up, Taysom Hill ended up running the ball in. But, yeah, that's neither, sure. That's neither here nor there. But, well, you know, to have six rushing touchdowns is just, it's otherworldly. And he's just that's my man. That's my man. That's all I can say.
I have a sneaky feeling that Alvin Kamara, and I'm not going to use the word dislike, but I have a sneaky feeling that he does not like having Taysom Hill at quarterback. It just doesn't work for him because Taysom Hill scrambles so much.
It didn't really look like the chemistry was there, like, you know, like he's had over the last few years with Drew Brees, and I think the same thing with Michael Thomas as well. And all the rumors that are floating around that, oh, Thomas wants out of New Orleans and everything of that's like, shut the F up. Like, there's no way. They just gave him an unearthly payday. Like, it's just one of those lost seasons. He can be frustrated as hell, but next year he comes back nice and healthy. He's going to be the number one receiver there again. Everything's going to be rosy.
Yeah, that's it. No, I agree. It depends if Breeze is going to be there.
I'm hoping he can be, you know, a John Elway and ride off into the sunset with a Super Bowl win.
I think he'd have to play
once again. Wishful thinking.
He'd have to play one more year for that, I think. Who did you have, or what did you have, actually, because the way you said it, as the dud of the week?
My dud of the week is the Christmas Grinch. And I'm talking about the NFL.
Really?
Yes, the NFL. The powers that be come out and find the person who got 6 touchdowns in this previous week on Christmas Day, Alvin Kamara, $5,000. For wearing red and green cleats. Are you effing kidding me? You kidding me?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
That is the most absurd, ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. What, you can't go out and be festive on Christmas? Like, yeah, that's ridiculous. And Alvin Kamara's come out and said, look, he doesn't care. He's going to match
whatever
they find him and give it to a charity.
Yeah.
So that's just a big F you to the NFL. So I don't care.
Well, that's dumb. I mean, you're right.
Right.
They should be fining these people that go on the COVID. You know, a lot of regular citizens get fined for going, you know, breaking COVID rules and that. They should be fining them for that, not for goddamn cleats. Now, yeah, that's a good one. Mine's just based around, just because I don't know what they're going to do. Mine was just based around Cam Newton being the dunker purely because after 3 quarters, he did 5 out of 10 for 34 yards in that game against the Bills and then got pulled in the third quarter.
Just every week they keep bombing Belichick in, you know, the week leading up to the game. Who's your quarterback? And he's just with no equivocations. It's Cam Newton. He's got the trust in him, but it's just like what are we doing here? What are they doing?
I gave it to Cam Newton because what is he doing? You know, 5 out of 10, 34 yards in 3 quarters. Like, come on. And he got sacked twice as well. Yeah, he scrambles, and that's all good. He got a touchdown. But he's I don't know, maybe his arm's just gone. It's just not that Cam Newton that everyone thinks.
Jared Stidham played a quarter and threw more yards.
That's exactly right.
And one less completion. Like, it's unreal. Like, they only use 5 different receivers, New England.
That's a team that, you know, traditionally they all go on about. I think he traditionally goes on about how bad he drafts Bill Belichick. I don't know what they're like. They're 6-9. Possibly will finish 6-10. What the hell do they draft?
Well. Here's a little bit of something that I was going to bring up a couple of weeks ago, but we never got to it. So Bill Belichick in drafting skill positions, right? So in recent years. So in 2018, he drafts Sony Michel at that 31, right?
Yeah.
Guess who the next running back that went in that draft was?
In what year?
2000. Don't Google it.
No, I'm not Googling it.
2018.
18. Was it Cook or someone like that?
Yeah. Nick Chubb.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Right.
So in 2019, so last year, he drafts N'Keal Harry at 32. So the next 3 wide receivers that go, this is just in recent, this is only in the last couple of years, but the next 3 wide receivers, so 32 was N'Keal Harry. At 36, Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel, yeah.
At 51, AJ Brown. At 64, DK Metcalf.
Metcalf, yeah, that's
good grief.
That whole DK Metcalf thing is he'd be laughing at everybody. I don't know how we fell that bad, to be completely honest. Remember when I was sending you those photos of how stacked that guy looked? I don't know how he felt that bad, but yeah, that's what I mean. Like I'm just trying to look where they're going to sort of
have a good record in drafting skill positions, and especially lately when Tom Brady is not looking his best and freshest, you know, at 41, 42 years old before he moved on to Tampa. That's the time where you need to get him some help. And not to say that those guys that they drafted, they may turn out to be really good players. You know, N'Keal Harry hasn't really sort of taken a step up this year. Sony Michel is an average running back at best. It just, it's, I mean, and then you look at the players that were taken after him, you're like, holy crap, like what could Bill Belichick do with those guys, especially with Tom Brady there?
Well, I was just reading to see where they would sort of fit at the moment around that number 15 draft pick. And every mock draft has got them trying to draft the quarterback. I don't know, I assume that's what they need.
And that's the thing, it's either that or they've got to go out in the free agent market again, or I know I'm hearing, and these are only rumors, I'm hearing that that there could be a reunited former Patriot in Jimmy G to go back to New England, because that seemed to work pretty well there while Tom Brady wasn't, while he was sort of hurt. Jimmy G looked pretty good in a Patriots uniform in that scheme.
Yeah, he did. They've never ever drafted a quarterback in the first round ever. Ever.
Well, they picked up Tom Brady in the sixth round. It was like pick 199.
I was about to say, exactly. I mean, they could say ever. That's because they had a quarterback for so long. So
no, that's wrong. They never needed to. Plus, even before that, they had Drew Bledsoe, and he was pretty good as well.
They've got every mock draft has got them picking up.
What was Jimmy G? Was he a second or third round pick?
Jimmy G, I think he was a third, if I remember correctly. I think he was a third.
Around here somewhere.
But yeah, every mock draft, and they've all gone different quarterbacks, but every mock draft has them getting a quarterback, because that's something I think that Cam experiment, and he's only on 1 year cheapy deal, but I don't think it really worked. I don't think it did.
You don't think? Yeah, no, I think
obviously.
One of the failures of the season, like that's just that's right. They started off first 4 weeks they looked pretty good, but man, it started to tailspin out of control, and woof boy, it went downhill fast.
He's got nothing to throw to too, so like
that's right. You know, they're severely lacking in offensive weapons there as well. Like I get that, it is what it is, that it's going to be the age old conversation now for the next couple of years. Was it Tom Brady? Was it Bill Belichick? I don't think you can put it on either one. I think it was just the match made in heaven.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, if we go off this year, it was,
but it's like, it was like the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. It's the match made in heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I guess that'll do it for week 16 of the NFL. Don't forget to follow us on all our socials. Well, all being two, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook, as always, Final Play Podcast. We will very, very soon, and it will be by the end of the week, be on Apple. So mark my words, by the end of next week, we'll be on Apple.
It was meant to be by the new year. New year's gone and passed now.
New Year. So I'm in the new year. It'll be there by next week.
Yeah, we're in the new year, all right.
We'll be there by next week. But again, you can get them everywhere else, especially Spotify, which I've just another league that I'm in. I've got a WhatsApp group, and they're all going to start listening to it on Spotify. So there's another 10 people, which is good. And obviously, we are on gimco.com.au as well, which is for all your trading cards, as Miles was talking about 5 seconds ago with his Jimmy G.
I get that box off? Yeah, we'll just say that I did, which I'm 90% sure that I didn't get it off there. But still happy days. Gimco's just powering along. They did a couple of big Christmas breaks and New Year's breaks. So they're still charging along, and all the best to Dom and Steve, Mojo King.
Is that his name, Steve?
For the support. Sorry, I shouldn't have used his real name. It's just Mojo King. So, thanks again for the support, and all the best for this year. And we'll continue to support you guys while you continue to support us.
Well, have a good week, everyone, in the new year. My name's Jason. Hopefully your 2021 year will be a lot better than your 2020, depending on your 2020, of course. Might have been your greatest year. Who knows?
Hmm. No, that's true. Yeah, no, Miles 2020 sucked ass plum.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. That was
NBA good. Coming soon. The NBA is back.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
See ya.